exercise in controlled terror.
If my grip relaxes on this trigger, it'll detonate enough explosive to rip your guts out.
They are going to kill him, aren't they?
No!
My name is Trouble.
I don't give a damn about security.
What? I said quote him, please. Tracy, he gave me every word in verse 1, every word in verse 2, every word in verse 3, and did not miss a verse. Yet he says, like most of the young people today, I do not buy the music for the lyrics. I buy the music for the beat.
Albert Long is not only concerned with the lyrics on some of today's albums, but also with their packaging. He suggests satanic symbolism on several of today's albums. Dr. J.L. Williams, who's been involved in youth ministry for the past 20 years, is very knowledgeable on biblical symbolism.
And there are certain symbols here, negative symbols, that I think are very dangerous that people need to be aware of. Now let's begin with an album by a group that is pretty notorious, the group called Kiss. Now, number one, you would see that certain parts of the men's uniforms all accentuate the genitals of a male. I just have to be very explicit here. Psychologically speaking, these are phallic symbols or an emphasis on the genitals of the male. And we see the women down here rather faceless, to me denoting the subjugation of women to men and the strong sexual orientation of this, and of course a look of defiance in the face of the people. I would also say one other thing that needs to be denoted on this album. If you look very carefully at...
Are you ready for Truth About Rock? Truth About Rock, the rock music seminar that has swept the nation. The Peters Brothers seminars and bonfires have drawn press attention from coast to coast.
Tell us about AC/DC. There's a lot of people that have felt that the AC/DC name, where they took the name because of its bisexual connotations. In fact, just read that in the Encyclopedia of Rock just recently. But AC/DC is very much a raunchy group that came from Australia. They sang such songs as Giving the Dog a Bone, talking about down, down to her knees, down, down to 90 degrees. She's driving me crazy until my ammunition is dry. She's just using her head again. She's just using her head, singing about oral sex.
There's a group from Minneapolis called Prince. We need to take a look at what Prince stands for.
The group Prince and their album Dirty Mind was critiqued by Rolling Stone magazine a while ago in a February issue. And Rolling Stone magazine, which is not one of your conservative evangelical magazines in America, said, at its very best, Prince's Dirty Mind album is positively filthy. Then the Rolling Stone magazine went on to critique and explain two of the lyrics.
We have come to do battle for the city of Salaora.
Will you fight to the death, giving no quarter and receiving none?
We will.
Go then.
Thank you.
Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself.
Synanon is a real corporation. Its business is junkies. Chuck Dietrich is the ex-drunk who dreamed it up and fights to keep it from becoming a nightmare. Joni. Dollface with a deadly, expensive appetite.
I identify myself. I am Emperor Guillotine from the planet Gargoyle, and my purpose for that, I have come to conquer the Earth. Now feel the power of the Emperor!
They're under attack.
Flying saucer dove into the sea, disappearing far into the depths of the Pacific Ocean. For many months, it did not reappear, and authorities began to believe it was destroyed. Then, strange things began to happen in the Pacific.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a few minutes, you will see the development of communistic movement throughout the world. This communistic movement began in my country, in Russia. Keep in your mind that Russian people was the first victim of the communist tyranny.
In the next few months, the motion picture industry and theater owners will be bringing you a series of messages like the one you just saw. I don't think anybody will miss the point. The thrill can kill. The drug dealers need to know that we want them out of our schools, neighborhoods, and our lives. And the only way to do that is to take the customers away from the product. Say no to drugs and say yes to life.
Of course, your local drug pusher may tell you a little something different about these drugs. And who you believe is up to you. But then again, if you go ahead and try them, at least it won't be out of ignorance. Just stupidity. What would I do if someone offered me these drugs? I'd tell him to take a hike.
In the shadows of the tall timber, a terrifying army of animals gather, an ever-growing horde of beak, tooth, and claw. This is the prey of the animals.
Now we gotta act like we got no one but ourselves. Get us down off this mountain.
Struggle for survival in a world gone mad.
What about Roy and the professor?
They've had it.
The day of the animals is coming, and there's no place to hide.
The deadliest nightmare of them all.
Albert was young, intelligent, handsome, and sick. Very sick. Albert hated women. It all started with his strange relationship with Mother. These women trusted Albert. They shouldn't have. The nurse took away his only pleasure, the night lady. All she wanted was money. The housekeeper, she was.
Het gebruik van ecstasy in combinatie met een houseparty kan hersenbeschadigingen opleveren. Een houseparty kan hersenbeschadigingen opleveren.
Zaterdagavond, 3:00 PM, en wordt volop gehandeld in alle soorten drugs. Veel langs de kant worden goede zaken gedaan. Onafgebroken tot 7:00 AM in de ochtend.
Religieuze pupillen.
Totdat ze compleet uit hun bol gaan. Vervolgens in een soort trance raken en pas na dagen weer normaal aanspreekbaar zijn.
Het blijkt ook dat je minder eetlust krijgt. Je valt er gewoon keihard vanaf. Het blijkt ook dat je minder eetlust krijgt. Ik vind het heel lullig, maar het is gewoon zo. Je valt er gewoon keihard vanaf. Het blijkt ook dat je minder eetlust krijgt.
Na zijn eerste pil ging het snel. Zijn eerste ecstasy-pil slikte het snel. Ieder weekend stevig kicken op de pillen. En op maandag nog zo goed als hersendood.
Wij merken dan dat zo'n jongen heel erg naar het weekend uitkijkt. Op dat moment heel zelfverzekerd is, naar zijn zin heeft. Men is het doel een beetje kwijt van waarvoor doen we alles. Wat maakt het leven nou uit? En het enige wat dan belangrijk wordt is dat pilletje. Onder invloed zijn, wat zijn. Want dan voel je je weer goed en dan kun je er tegenaan.
Mag wakker worden met een flinke kater. Geen trek in eten. Dus niet echt van, ik ben weer dat mannetje. Geen trek in eten.
Je valt er gewoon keihard vanaf. Het blijkt ook dat je minder eetlust krijgt.
Timo merkte dat de pillen iets met zijn hersenen deden. Die totaal gestoord werden.
Duidelijk tekort. Als je spreekt met mensen als leraren, et cetera, denken, nou, het valt wel mee.
Iets heel anders nu.
It's the end of the world. Thus set the Lord God into the mountains, the hills,
and the rivers and the valleys.
Behold,
I shall bring a sword upon you. It's the end of the world. Thus saith the Lord God unto the mountains, the hills, and the rivers and the valleys. Behold, I, even I, shall bring a sword upon you.
Een opvouwbaar spiritusdrankje bijvoorbeeld, dat met behulp van een dokje goed genoeg is om van alles op te warmen. Een handig lampje zorgt ervoor dat de kampeerder ook 's nachts uit de voeten kan. En mocht het in de tent wat al te warm worden, dan is er dit miniatuur koetentoewuivertje. Snel als een raket zorgt dit apparaatje voor een heerlijk kopje koffie. Hoe het precies werkt, blijkt na enig uitproberen. Zeker is dat het aroma in de neuskegel zit.
This wreck for intercourse. So do some men prefer to enjoy fellatio as a separate experience. But this depends entirely on the individual. A man who reacts quickly and also recuperates soon after ejaculation usually is capable of subsequent intercourse. But a man with good staying power might like to share his initial ejaculation intercourse with his partner. We are now nearing the end of Reel 4, the last reel of this documentary series. Naturally, in a film documentary series, there is always a greater limitation of available time than in, for instance, a book. In order to achieve this, the woman should not touch her partner's sensuous triangle immediately. This triangle is located between the two lower rings of the corona, where the foreskin adheres to the penis and stretches to the tip of the glands. The woman may kiss and lick the entire penis and the scrotum. She may alternately loosen and tighten her grip. She may delicately stimulate the tip of the glands and move the penis skin up and down.
Were you surprised at the controversy?
Well, it's been controversial, but at the same time, they had a major piece on the Today Show. They had lots of different pieces all over the place. You're here. I mean, the fact is, the girls are beautiful, the most beautiful girls in the world. The show is going to be on Sunday night. It's going to get great ratings and...
An accident in California.
Less two accidents in 1 week.
Who's putting the lid on this, the police?
A recording from a stranger.
Get on the ride, Harry.
A drop in Virginia.
Harry.
Yeah.
Remember what happens when you don't follow directions.
And a man in the middle on the ride of his life.
They're over the lift. It's too late to stop them now.
Let's go.
200 fathoms beneath the sea, nuclear submarines. The gray ladies of the U.S. fleet patrol the oceans of the world. 60 miles off the New England coast, the USS Neptune is almost home.
Captain, we got a contact at 315 degrees. 3,000 yards on course 270. That's a collision course with us.
Captain, he...
I know. Helm, bridge. Right full rudder, all ahead full. Sound the danger signal.
I can't.
Captain!
Full dive on bow planes. Try to get her leveled off.
Fathometer's reading a ledge or something.
How deep?
I can't tell, sir. We're sinking too fast.
1,300 feet.
Now hear this. A nuclear submarine is down in the Atlantic. An emergency.
He's down, isn't he?
Any station? This is Neptune. Over.
Hopefully, Neptune is located somewhere in this area.
What's the closest thing you've got to her?
NASA.
Well, move her in there.
And now it begins. A rescue mission so important, it challenges the entire United States Navy.
One large slide
might cause the submarine to slip off the ledge.
And it's a 2 mile ride to the bottom.
We don't have many options.
Any.
The only hope, an experimental rescue vehicle that has never been tried before.
Reading is here. Bring it up.
No, we've got to see what happens to the sub.
Oh, my God.
Any station? Any station?
Ah. Sir, we've
lost communication.
Oh,
no. Nice.
Ah.
Ah!
This, our country and all its people, could be in danger of nuclear attack in minutes by enemy missiles, in hours by enemy aircraft. Our cities, our farms, our factories. Prime target would be our air bases. With all our aircraft on the ground, our weapons of interception or retaliation, to avoid surprise disaster, some of our aircraft must always be in the sky or on the alert, carrying nuclear weapons. Explosive, and the speed and height of the drop, we may experience a variety of ordinary explosions. Large ones,
establish my legal right and dominion over this region and over every territory.
Small ones, or none at all, from impact of the bomb.
According to Daniel 9 and 4, you are the only great and dreadful God.
Beside the hazard of impact, frequent tests are run on the hazard of fire. To learn what temperatures and pressures would be created inside a weapon by an aircraft fire, various types of bombs are subjected to a flame bath of burning fuel.
Ik verzoek u als minister-president vooral allen rustig te gaan slapen, zoals u dat ook op andere nachten ligt te doen. Er is voorshands geen enkele reden tot ongerustheid. Gaat u rustig slapen. Hier sprak uw minister-president.
Vermetele onwetende, weet dan dit. Wie ogen heeft, die horen. Dit is geen uitzending van glorie der mensheid. Er staat geschreven dat deze woorden gesproken hebben.
I was at the grocery store just the other day. Saw a guy with a cart blocking the whole darn way. He was looking at his phone, clueless as can be. I thought to myself, there's got to be a remedy. Let's find a cure for stupid people. You're everywhere you go, under every steeple. From parking lots to checkout lines, we need a fix for these dim-witted signs. Let's find a cure for stupid people and make the world a smarter sequel. At the DMV, what a sight to see. Folks forgetting forms, wasting time for free. A guy ahead of me didn't know his own name. I thought, dear Lord, this is just a crying shame. Let's find a cure for stupid people. You're everywhere you go, under every steeple. From parking lots to checkout lines, we need a fix for these dim-witted signs. Let's find a cure for stupid people and make the world a smarter sequel. You can't fix stupid, that's what they say. But maybe there's a pill to take the dumb away. Imagine a world where common sense is free, where you don't need a sign to say, don't climb the tree. Here's to the dreamers and the hopeful few, praying for a cure for those without a clue. Until that day comes, we'll just shake our heads and laugh about the things those nitwits said. Let's find a cure for stupid people. You're everywhere you go, under every steeple. From parking lots to checkout lines, we need a fix for these dim-witted signs. Let's find a cure for stupid people and make the world a smarter sequel. So if you're feeling brave and got a plan in mind, start working on a cure.
We interrupt our normal program to cooperate in civil defense measures as requested by the government. This is a radio alert. Normal broadcasting will now be discontinued for an indefinite period. Civil defense information will be broadcast in most areas on your regular radio receiver. I repeat, normal broadcasting will be discontinued for an indefinite period. Civil defense information will be broadcast in most areas on your regular radio receiver.
Dan is de tijd rijp voor de glorie der mensheid. Van grootheid, roem en kracht. Van macht en van gerechtigheid. Voorwaarts met de glorie der mensheid. Die met ons zal zijn, zoals hij ook met en bij onze vaderen was. Voorwaarts. Zijn oder nicht zijn, heeft Wilhelm gezegd. Leven of dood.
Er komt een dag na elke nacht. Voorbij trekt iedere wolk. Ik zie hoe het eerste morgenlicht door het hoge venster draalt. Glorie der mensheid maakt mij het sterven licht. En zo ik heb gefaald, gelijk een elk wel falen kan, schenk mij dan uw genade. Opdat ik heen ga als een man, als ik voor de lopen sta.
We'll be right back. Als u na het schokkende programma behoefte aan hebt om met iemand te praten, bel dan gerust dit nummer 035-83-88.
Gaat en onderwijst alle volken.
This is episode 431 of the Anarchist News Podcast, the digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of August 31st through September 5th, 2025. This week's old-timer phrase is, teach your grandmother to suck eggs, which means attempting to teach someone something that they know better than you with an implicit criticism that you might want to pay more attention. What's new this week? No Gods, No Masters, Why Atheism and Anarchism Are a Good Fit, from The Polar Blast. A reasonable Anarchy 101 post listing most of the arguments against anarchists being religious, doesn't get into the difference between spirituality and religion, if there is one, doesn't address atheism's tendency towards humanism, in fact, it implicitly leans into it, gives only a nod to the complexity of people's concepts of God, which can include the understanding of God as all life, as all existent, etc., but now I'm getting into deep waters, so to speak. So it's worth reading if you're starting out or if you really need someone to remind you that your Christian family probably isn't going to agree with you on some things.
I agree with my Christian family on everything.
Oh, no. Oh,
King no. Mob, The Motherfuckers and Revolutionary Art from Fifth Estate by Lawton Browning. The heading here is the title of a new book by David and Stuart Wise. David was a member of King Mob. This book is a series of essays on past revolutionaries who are aggressively engaged with the art world, including notably the Situationists and Up Against the Wall Motherfucker, as well as more recent examples of the capacity of finance to subsume images. Quote, gradually, Wise's comparison of the PR stunts carefully designed to bolster Banksy's credibility, actions such as rendering his own objects worthless by destroying them or giving them away, refusing to authenticate his art in the market, or the theme park parody called Dismaland, with similar but far less publicized and mythologized actions by King Mob, the Situationists and others morph into an elegy for the early anarchistic days of the internet and the counterculture's subsequent de-evolution into decadent arch-capitalism, a la Burning Man. Unquote. Worth reading and learning even a little about these groups. Hell, read The Invisibles by Grant Morrison while you're at it. That was King Mob, The Motherfuckers, and Revolutionary Art.
ARB number 10, Summer Fall 2025, about this magazine, from Anarchist Review of Books by the Editorial Collective. A nicely written and composed piece revisiting one of their first interviews with someone who was developing a large language model, and from that, what tech has done and is doing to strengthen the state and capitalism and destroy our world. Quote, this kind of reading is one way of breaking the faulty conceptual link between the human mind and technology. The mind has always been compared to whatever technology is current. Clockwork, computers, the things that we invent and that in turn shape and change us. But in fact, the mind is not analogous to any technology. It is beyond all technology and apart from it, something stranger and more expansive. And that, according to current research, almost certainly does not end at the brain. Understanding this is important because we are being sold a world where AI becomes us, is us, and vice versa. We risk becoming locked in a battle with a machine that threatens to consume us from the inside out, when really we have the option at every moment of reclaiming both the vastness and the personal tactile immediacy of the imagination. Unquote. Yes, they're encouraging us to buy their magazine. Yes, they're ending on that suspicious upbeat. I don't know. Works for me sometimes. That was ARB number 10, Summer Fall 2025.
UK, chickens liberated from egg farm in solidarity with Marius Mason and June 11th prisoners. From Unoffensive Animal, a communique. It ends with, quote, we think of all those we left behind, and we promise to come back. We dedicate this action to Marius Mason and all long-term anarchist prisoners. solidarity knows no bounds, until every cage is empty, unquote. They say that the free chickens are being well taken care of. The little prince lives.
The Anti-Militarism of Fools from Freedom News by Nikita Ivansky. There is no doubt that people who are at the center of a controversial event will have many enraging encounters with people who, for example, think they know better. But it's an easy slide from that reasonable rage to assigning simplistic explanations for people who don't agree with you. Like George Bush's, "They hate us for our freedoms," "They've succumbed to Russian propaganda" only makes sense sometimes and isn't a compelling argument when every state actor involved is propagandizing the fuck out of themselves. At any rate, this is an informed take on what is happening and has happened with the left and anarchists internationally around the war in Ukraine. Almost resident expert DeClerc weighs in the comments about white supremacists who are being anarchist washed in these kinds of reports and comes with receipts.
Interview with anarchists Andrei Chepyuk and Akihiro Gevsky Kanada, Part 2, from Anarchist Black Cross Belarus. The first part of this interview was good, and this is too. Plenty of fodder for thought here. Quote, "Nevertheless, I would also like to note that the brand of anarchists in the Belarusian prison system, I don't know how it is outside, but there, in the dungeons, the brand of anarchists is highly valued. People know that anarchists are steadfast people, people who stick to their principles. Prisoners, as a rule, do not often understand anarchist ideas. Every time you have to explain who anarchists are and what our ideas are and are not. But I think they respect the representatives of the anarchist movement who are in prison, and they know these examples." Unquote. That was interview with Chepyuk and Gavsky Kanada.
"Zines are not a crime. Free Des Revel from It's Going Down. The Dallas-Fort Worth defendants, a.k.a. Prairieland, include this person, Dez, husband to one of the people initially arrested, because the arrests are completely politically motivated and ongoing. None of these folks have been legally charged with anything, meaning that they don't even have meaningful access to lawyers, because people with federal charges get a whole other level of bullshit. Anyway, this piece is specifically in defense of and solidarity with Dez, who's being threatened and abused by multiple levels of fascists. Quote, Dez was briefly held at the Johnson County Jail, but soon transferred to a federal prison, FMC Fort Worth. He is also currently on an ICE hold and has been publicly targeted and doxxed on social media by both prominent fascists and ICE. Moreover, right after his arrest, his family experienced a brutal and intimidating 9-hour FBI raid of their home. Police confiscated everything from electronics to stickers and more zines," unquote. The Prairieland defendants continued to need phone calls, letters, and attention. Multiple Dez-specific but generalizable options are linked here. That was Zines Are Not a Crime, Free Dez.
Rafts in Troubled Waters, Anarchism, Anti-Immigrant Protest, and the Rise of Reform UK. From The Slow-Burning Fuse by Wyatt E. Jones. A piece on the machinations of political parties pretending to be just folks. And an example of overworking a metaphor. Quote, "These anti-immigrant mobilizations are not merely expressions of community frustration. They are rafts built from the debris of neoliberal collapse, steered by authoritarian hands, and designed to shore up a politics of exclusion and fear. They represent a hijacking of grassroots energy that could otherwise be directed against the state and capital. For anarchists, the challenge is not only to expose the rotten timber holding these rafts together, but to offer alternative vessels rooted in solidarity, mutual aid, and internationalism that can navigate us toward liberation rather than xenophobia." Unquote. Nothing new or exciting in here in terms of ideas. It's not rocking any traditional anarchism boats. But if you're new to the idea of state forces hiding behind grassroots masks, then maybe there's something useful here.
The ALF vandalizes a car of a livestock equipment businessman from Unoffensive Animal. Lots of communiques this week. Quote, "Since we oppose confinement and prisons, we do not accept the improvement of their conditions, only their destruction. Thus, everyone who in any way contributes to their preservation is co-responsible and is automatically our target. That is why we spray-painted slogans on the luxury car of this particular businessman, a Mercedes 300, worth around 60,000 euro. Unquote. Targets are, unfortunately, everywhere.
call to arms, insurrection.
He ran down.
Yeah. Call to arms, insurrectionary solidarity with Indonesia, from Dark Knights. This is the full communique. Quote, since the 25th, the flames of rebellion have scorched the oppressive forces in Indonesia, igniting a fierce uprising against a regime that thrives on violence and subjugation. This is no fleeting moment. It is a throbbing heartbeat of resistance from those long denied their rights. The loss of 10 lives in this struggle only deepens our resolve to confront the state and its henchmen. As the government unleashes military brutality, kidnaps activists, and engages in sinister cyber warfare, we are reminded, insurrection is the most logical weapon of the masses. It is time to act. Our fury must unite as a force beyond borders. Comrades across the globe, rise. Attack Indonesian interests wherever they are found. Disrupt the machinery of oppression with every act of defiance. Join the clash, amplify the voices of the oppressed, and make it clear. Our resistance knows no bounds. Together, we can dismantle the techno-industrial civilization. Signed, Federasi Informal Anarchists, unquote.
Agitation for the Absolute Freedom of Miguel Peralta and Eloxa Chitlan de Flores Magón, from its going down. Another call to action. Quote, for more than 10 years, the situation in the community of Eloxa Chitlan de Flores Magón in the Sierra Mazateca de Oaxaca, Mexico, has drawn the attention of those who believe in the autonomy of indigenous communities and the defense of territory as something legitimate and necessary, unquote. And, quote, in addition to the case of Miguel Peralta, there are active arrest warrants for more than 50 members of the community of Eloxa Chitlan de Flores Magón, among them Martha Betanzos and Martin Peralta, mother and brother of Miguel. All of these orders have been perpetrated by the same cacique family and backed up by the nefarious system of justice. It has not been enough for the Zepeda family to hold positions of power and use that to subjugate the community. They want to continue keeping entire families displaced and living in fear of one day being arrested, unquote. Email address is given to send ideas and plans.
Claim for the burning of 17 cars at the Tesla dealership, Rome, 31325, from Act for Freedom Now. A longer communique explaining how Musk sucks for anyone who hasn't been paying attention. Quote, techno-fascism, transhumanism, artificial intelligence, conquest of space, war, technological surveillance, and destruction of the planet. Are any other reasons necessary for attacking Elon Musk's interest anywhere and at any moment? For these and many other reasons, in the night between 30 and 31 March, we decided we too would welcome spring, a cold night, warmed by the burning of 17 cars in the only Tesla dealership in Rome. Because we claim to be the defects that the project of personages like Musk would like to eradicate, unquote. No wonder Tesla is doing their best to buy out Musk. Such easy targets.
Laz Halliwell on Neuroqueer Zine Culture from Debate Me Bro, an interview with a poet and zinester. These interviews are always friendly, getting to know someone sessions that don't go particularly deep into the topics they touch on. In today's world of few and fleeting third spaces, we can celebrate MK Zariel introducing us to these folks, this form of learning that these folks exist, and that we might even see them, or at least their name, sometime in the future. Maybe.
Tucson, Arizona. Going on the offensive against ICE. Reflections on a recent demo. From Living and Fighting by Anonymous. Another in this week's reflections that the left is mostly, some would say definitively, toothless and so close to liberal that it wears the same clothes. This is the first-person account of a march in which some were prepared to storm offices and face off with cops, and others were not, and others needed a little convincing. There's a list at the end of what the anonymous author considers lessons worth learning, including the benefit of the coolness factor, acceptance of the language of marketing, being prepared to shout down those who come with their own bullhorns, etc. Not saying the person here is wrong, just that they are leaving some complicated questions on the table. Still, not a bad read.
75-plus flock cameras disabled in Bay Area from Indie Bay. Short communique with some general tips and a link for more how-to information. Ah, yeah, here's the bulk of it. Quote, some anarchists disabled 75-plus flock cameras in Oakland and SF. Lost count a little bit. A lot of them got doused with paint. Others were totally destroyed and scattered around town. easily reproducible stuff. You can use a fire extinguisher to paint the lens or climb up streetlights to reach them with a hammer or tin snips for the clamp. You can also uproot Flock's own poles from the base with an adjustable crescent wrench. Mask up and enjoy watching cameras take their last pictures ever, unquote. Right?
Ken McLeod, Red Futures in the Gutter. From the Dark Forest at socialecologies.wordpress.com. This is the first of two impassioned reviews this week. This one is fiercely promoting McLeod's take on politics and science fiction, then gives thumbnail reviews of some of McLeod's titles using that lens. Quote, where most writers sketch governments in vague strokes, McLeod drills into the machinery of belief. His characters don't argue theory in lecture halls. They trade manifestos in back alleys, pass encrypted files over warm beers, or shout slogans through the smoke of tear gas. Ideology in McLeod isn't abstract. It's embodied in mercenaries, hackers, street-level activists, burned-out cops. It breaks bones, shreds families, rewrites alliances. He takes the spectrum, left, right, anarchist, authoritarian, and refuses to sanitize it. Every shade of politics is thrown into the furnace of collapse, and what comes out is raw, compromised, often monstrous, but never irrelevant. Unquote. It's nice to have someone writing about science fiction who isn't Javier Cethnas, so thanks, whoever wrote this. The writer does make McLeod sound like he's not changing much about what we currently understand about political parties, etc., but science fiction is for a lot of different things. We'll allow it. That was Ken McLeod, Red Futures in the Gutter.
15 newer hardcore punk records from Indonesia to set cops on fire, from DIY Conspiracy. A thumbnail history of Indonesia from President Sukarno mid-last century to this year's uprising, and then an extensive list of reviews of punk bands that have something to say about that history. Quote, Bandung Skeptis are the best opener for this article, not only because their debut, Demonstrasi Oleh Skeptis, is my favorite Indonesian release of the year, but also because from the very title, their music is framed as a demonstration, an anarchist call to arms in sonic form. The band draws from anarcho-punk, crust, dungeon synth, and ambient, and makes it all work in an incendiary mix that's both empowering and bleak. The first track is a blistering indictment of militarized nationalism, where democracy is exposed as a blood-soaked parody. Unquote. Nice. There's also a link to a fundraiser campaign for a safe house network for frontline activists. That was 15 newer hardcore punk records from Indonesia to set cops on fire.
To set cops on fire. Voices from the uprising in Indonesia from CrimeThink. Been a while since we had a CrimeThink international news article. Sparked by police violence and political corruption. Quote, a wave of protest exploded across Indonesia at the end of August 2025. In this report, we present an interview with an imprisoned Indonesian anarchist author, along with various statements from anarchist groups that have reached English-speaking outlets since the uprising began. Unquote. The prisoner interviewed has an unusual perspective for someone featured in a CrimeThink article, and deftly bucks the CrimeThink tradition of ending on a posy note. But then, the article doesn't end with that interview, of course. Can't have a pessimist have the last word. Oh, CrimeThink. Still, this is informative.
Running Down the Walls 2025 from Anarchist Black Cross Federation. Nice design for the poster, though I think the downstroke should have merged with the T differently. Anyway, on September 21st, there's this year's long-running, fundraiser for prisoners. Now there's also a burpee down the walls for those who can't run, and who knows what's next. Run, sponsor a runner, or burpeer, and or write an anarchist prisoner today.
I hate the word burpee so much. I feel disgusting whenever I hear it. Or say it. It's, ugh, burpee. I hate it.
Burpee.
Obituaries. The word burpee. That's it.
You wish.
Yeah. Obituaries. John Englert, 1955 to 2025. A life of honesty, integrity, and social conscience. From mainstream Australian news source, Brunswick Voice. A staunch and lifelong activist. This is most of what is said about his anarchist activity. Quote, much of John's life, from 1975 to 1990, revolved around the anarchist movement in Sydney. His experience in the short-lived Federation of Australian Anarchists cemented in him a determination to do anarchism differently. Accordingly, in 1977, who is a founding member of Jura Books, now Sydney's longest-running anarchist bookshop. Differences within the collective led to a split in 1982, with John amongst those leaving to establish the Red Fern Black Rose anarchist bookshop. Out of those experiences, John learned much about working with people in a collective and egalitarian way. Unquote. That last line is pretty funny, really. I hope his chihuahuas are doing okay without him.
Audio and video, Militant Anarchist Experiences in the Anti-Globalization Era from the Final Straw Radio, an hour and 35 minutes. A talk with Thomas Rothaus, author of the memoir Another War is Possible, which was featured in a book report out of Counterpunch that we talked about last week. Quote, we speak about the anti-globalization movement and how it's remembered, debates around mass mobilizations and black bloc street conflicts, mentorship and intergenerationality in anarchism, and the importance of a sober audacity in political struggle. Unquote. Tomas is a good guest, comfortable and articulate. There's also an announcement here about a solidarity hunger strike by Casey Goonan and links for support and for information.
Hey, this is Donnie fucking Don't.
This is Artemis.
And it is the Anarchist News Topic of the Week, September 5th. There is no Topic of the Week, but it is book fair season, so we are talking anarchist gatherings. Book fairs, campouts, summer camps. Which ones do you like? Which ones do you think suck? What are some good for some things and some are good for others? What do we even need anarchist gatherings anymore with the internet and social media?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, I know. yeah, what's your, you were talking about some anarchist gatherings near you recently that you thought had a different vibe than some of the ones you'd been to.
Yeah, so I've been to a total of two anarchist, well, make that three official anarchist gatherings. Lawrence, Kansas, Kansas City, and then a local like crime thing, what is it, festival of resistance type of deal. And so I've been to those, the first two being more the swap books and zines and talk, kind of more to me, it definitely felt more like people you haven't seen in a while catching up, spitting the shit, right? But also bringing new people in and kind of having casual conversations, right? And that's from the tables to the workshops. Right. That's kind of the vibe. Very kind of, not to say Anarchy 101 in a dismissive way, but that's kind of how the vibe was. Right. Very initiatory, or you know people and this is your social interaction. The Festival of Resistance, you know, being Crime Think has its limitations because it's Crime Think. Right. But it's, I mean, it's down to the individual organizers, right, and what they're doing, because how it happened here is going to be different from Chicago or L.A., whatever. And that one was like, yeah, there was like some zines, but the main focus is, man, like, here's how to defuse tear gas. Here's how to de-arrest. Here's how to understand police formations and how to break out of those formations. Like, kind of militant skills, which I was super into. And we feel very confident about how to go forth with those and develop those skills further. We also learned some, like, we're starting to really develop a culture of security culture here. We have an upcoming event where the whole one workshop is all about how to set up like tails and all that with like USB drives, and people are going to have examples. I want you to send an anonymous communique. Like, that's awesome. I'm so into that, you know?
That is very cool. I didn't realize that the Festivals of Resistance were like Crime Think branded. That's neat. I hadn't really been, like, in the 2000s, there were a series of like national Crime Think convergences, but I didn't realize that they'd like set off a bunch of mini ones, like local.
Yeah, they're franchising, as Jason Rogers says, they're franchisers.
Dude, anarchist franchising is kind of how it works. You know what I mean? Like, you do a reproducible thing, and people will be reproducing. You know, if you're not gonna have top down or like organized stuff, it has to, you know, it has to be stuff that people can just kind of pick up on when they see and iterate on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's neat. Yeah, I, to kind of build on what you were saying, yeah, I used to go to a lot of book fairs, and they were like simultaneously what, at least in theory, is like a very opening, easy to walk into event for people who are not familiar with anarchism or have only interacted with anarchism on the internet and want to go like find the anarchists, you know?
That's what that was for me, making it from online socialization to meeting with others face to face.
Oh yeah. And then, yeah, and then also, yeah, you see the same people at a lot of them, you know? And so it also does have like a social function for old timers or veterans or whatever you want to call them. Well, yeah, the same folks table a lot of them. We tabled at the Charlottesville Book Fair. Tabled the first couple, another Carolina anarchist book fairs. I went to the New York and Bay Area book fairs. Baltimore had one year. I don't know if they kept having them. Yeah, I mean it's conceptually very. Very cool. The workshops definitely ranging. I do feel like the book fair model definitely does lean towards like 101 workshops, and they tend to like not be necessarily long enough to have like a 201 and 301 style.
Right. I mean the one I'm doing. The first one I ever did was probably almost too deep, so to speak, because I was invited to do a lecture in Lawrence, Kansas, and I did my theory of the development of civilization is primarily based in religion, right? And that, I feel like people were kind of like, I'm not like really following that. Like some people were, but you know what I mean? I feel like it kind of clashed with the rest, like how to set up an affinity group.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, this feels different. But then there was other stuff there that was also really cool. Not whatever. But then my last one I did was about the tension as being an educator and an anarchist. And this was like, this is also for me talking to you, talking to me. And this next one I'm doing about individualism versus collectivism. Let's brainstorm. Let's really talk about what that means in anarchism. What does that mean concretely? Not only are they different, but how have they influenced each other? You know? And so that's still like very 101. And I, so I've taken that lesson of concrete, you know, 501 doesn't really work in these spaces necessarily. There's sure there's different places that might, but in my experience, they haven't. And that's okay. And that's okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because there's the other or one, another model, right? Which is the like week long camp out that I don't know if people are still able to like get enough time off work or whatever, or what the deal is. But I mean, like they seem to not be as popular at this point, but yeah, I mean like the Crime Think Convergences and like the Earth First Rendezvous and like Planet X Fest and stuff like that, that were all very big in the 2000s. Were all like week long events, mostly camping, you know, with a lot of workshops. Oftentimes, yeah, progressing or starting with an assumption of knowledge where like if you're at the Earth First Rondi or something, you know, you can assume that at least a good portion of the people there could make sense of and find interest in one of the workshops you were discussing. And they I used to go to a number of the Mountain Justice Summer events as well every year. For several years.
Tell me more about that.
That was super 101. That was the like anti-mountaintop removal stuff. So those were always in like either West Virginia or Kentucky, for the most part. And yeah, it would usually be like the workshops were security culture or like lockboxes. The best ones were like recon and stuff like that, where it was just about like creeping around in the woods without people hearing you.
Yeah.
And like, you know, trespassing and various other, and then a lot of just like info, like geology type presentations as well.
Yeah, my Earth First gathering, which I would not characterize as an anarchist gathering, it's ancestral skills, but it has anarchist undertones in many ways. I did one of those, it was called Way of the Shadow. that's one of those, like, let's navigate and move around and do, like, natural dyes on your face and using dirt. And, oh, dude, that was as someone who, like, grew up loving, like, Aragorn and the Rangers, I was like, this is that, bro. I love it.
Hell yeah. On the ground, like, Earth First could reasonably be described as, like, as an anarchist group. Probably, like, not in the 80s so much, but, like, realistically, you get there, and to what degree they understand the term, most people there identify as some sort of an anarchist.
I'm trying to remember. I hope I said Earthkin, not Earth First. I might have said Earth First.
Oh,
but
okay.
I meant Earth. I might have said Earth First.
I meant Earth First. Cool. Yes. Two very different things. Got it.
Yes.
Got it.
My bad.
Ah, you're good. Yeah.
But I think. Oh, go on. Go on.
I had always been curious to go to one of the primitive skills gatherings back in the day, and I never got around to it.
Yeah. Well, I also think that what are they? You're gonna remember. I should know this. The Green Anarchy gatherings that would happen like every summer.
Yeah, Feral Visions.
Yeah, that stuff, man. I missed that, right? Because of my age, I totally missed it. And I read about it. I have all the batch issues. Reading about that and talking to John and Rotten and all them, like, dude, that sounded like the shit.
I did not get to make it to any of those, but one of my friends here in town went to several. And then now they also have the Wild Roots, or I don't know if they're still having them, but at least a few years ago they were having annually the Wild Roots Feral Futures ones in Colorado that were being put on by Durango Earth First that seemed to have like a green anarchist flavor to them. Although they also seem to get like progressively longer and longer, like disclaimers, you know, and policies upon policies upon policies in a way that I was like, I think this would rub me the wrong way in person.
Yeah, I know how I am in some of those things. And I'm too, you know, if we're going to do a tech mill, right, I'm a little too abrasive for some of that stuff, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at this point, I'm both middle-aged and from the Northeast. So if I head west, I immediately start rubbing people the wrong way.
I had someone describe me. They're like, you know what the issue is? Everyone around you communicates like a Protestant because you grew up Catholic. You have a Catholic communication style. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
I have no fucking clue what that means, but it sounds amazing.
I was like, you know what? They're like, Protestants like the tiptoe and they don't really mean what they say, but Catholics interject. And like, think of how Italians and Irish talk to each other. That communication style. I was like, that's probably totally made up, but I totally agree with it.
Yeah, totally. Got the like New York Jew communication style.
This is the person telling me this is a New York Jew that told me this.
I think that group loves to pick apart social interactions because they're like very difficult sometimes. This is such a tangent at this point, but I mean, like, I moved from the Northeast to the South for almost a decade, and down there it was like, I used to go on tour with this anarchist project every summer, and a couple of my tour mates who were from a little deeper south would like play this game in the, I found out that they'd been playing this game in the van where they would like, if I was eating something, they'd be like, yo, that looks really good. And I'd be like, yeah. And they'd be like, is it good? I'm like, yeah, it's great. Like, yeah, it looks delicious. I'm like, yeah. And they would see how long they could go before I would offer them some. And it would just never happen, because if you wanted some, you would just ask me for it. But like, I guess where they're from, like, that's essentially how you, it is extremely rude to not offer if someone comments on it. And that was like part of this larger thing where I was like, people down there, and I think this might be true in the Midwest as well, like, you're not supposed to directly ask for things. And as a result, they also like don't have a proper way of saying no when you do directly ask for things. And so it's like very easy to accidentally socially bully people where, like, you know, like if you guys like need a car for something, you know, you're supposed to be like, yeah, man, wow, we like a car would be really good. Like if we could borrow a car from someone, like that would that'd really make shit happen right now. And someone's supposed to be like, oh, I have a car, you know, but like if you're, yeah, if you're from where I'm from, you're just like, oh, you've got a car, right? Can we borrow that? And they just like, right. They have no social way of declining, basically.
Right.